Listening to KNOM.
KNOM.
KNOM. Radio.
Radio in Nome, Alaska.
In Nome, Alaska.
In Nome, Alaska.
You are listening to KNOM Radio in Nome, Alaska.
Welcome to the Exchange Program here on KNOM. I'm your host, Davis, joined by KNOM's Gabe Colombo.
Morning, Davis. Great to be here.
Morning, Gabe. Thank you. And for the first KNOM Exchange of 2018, we're discussing housing, the significant challenges and realities of finding housing in Western Alaska. So, some questions to prompt this conversation. What kind of housing conditions exist in your communities? What housing projects are underway near you? How would you like to see housing in your community improve? To share your answers to these questions and your input, join us in the conversation by giving us a call at 1-800-478-5666 or if you're in Nome, 443-5221, and you can always email exchange at knom.org as well. And I'll let our guests in the studio introduce themselves. We'll start from the left with Ms. Rhonda.
Hello, I'm Rhonda Schneider, the Executive Director of Nome Community Center.
I'm Sue Steinacker, and I've been the housing specialist for the Nome Emergency Shelter Team, or NEST.
I'm Sarah Lysak, and I am the program director for the Quirk Vocational Rehabilitation Program.
Excellent. Thank you to all three of you for joining us this morning. Of course, there are many voices who could weigh in on housing, and we'll see who else calls in today. But for now, we're just going to start in the room with you, Sue. With your years as the housing specialist and just the efforts you've been putting in general for housing in the region, what is the current status of housing from your perspective?
I apologize for sounding so negative, but I'm also trying to be truthful. I think that we are facing a terrible crisis that I see getting worse, and there's no big answers to, there's no big solutions to. And there's only smaller ways that we might try to make it a little bit better. But, I mean, to, like, say, for instance, in the villages, I was just speaking with Chris Kolarak, the president at Bering Straits Regional Housing Authority. Their funding comes from the government through an Indian Housing Funds. And that government unit has determined that the villages served by Bering Straits Region Regional Housing Authority are in need of 950 units. This costs, at the cost of approximately $500,000 to build a, say, three-bedroom home in a village would run $477 million. And yet the Regional Housing Authority's budget is 5.8. They have been able to build four houses and a duplex this year. And I just am trying to bring the reality home to people who at one time, when the villages were much smaller and social programs were much more generous, people had a reason to think that at some point after starting a family that they would get a house. I am sorry to say, but the reality is the villages have grown too large, the money is diminishing, and those days are gone. And this is a new reality that we're entering. And it's a causing problems in Nome as well, where the cost of shipping makes a place more expensive than it appraises for. We have a severe shortage of housing stock. And it means that while we have people who earn a lower income, we don't have housing units affordable to them. And yet we still have 50 families on the wait list for affordable housing at the Bering View housing system. So I worry for the future of rural Alaska, and I think that while I wish I had answers, I feel like more importantly, people need to understand that there are hard times ahead, and we're all going to have to get creative in an effort just to try to diminish them a little.
Tough situation, as you mentioned, Sue. Thank you for being frank, and we apologize to Chris Kolarak with BSRHA for not being able to join us this morning, but he is welcome to call in. And we are taking calls now to KNOM to join the conversation on housing in the region. You can call us at 443-5221 or 1-800-478-5666. And Rhonda, your role with NCC, are you seeing similar things to what Sue just mentioned? Can you add anything else in, from your perspective on housing?
Sure. We see the lack of housing affecting many of the programs that we provide services for through the Nome Community Center. Specifically, some of the things that we are seeing an increase in right now are people exiting the prison system who have been separated from their children, want to work towards reunification. Housing is one of the first priorities for them. Folks exiting Seaside, our halfway house right here in Nome, trying to rebuild their families. We also see young people wanting to come to Nome and establish their families here so that they can obtain gainful employment. Young families have a real hard time. They can't get the job if they don't have the house. They don't have the house if they don't have the job. And so there's this vicious cycle. We're also seeing that sometimes the conditions in the home are unsafe, and so children are removed. Children come into our children's home and are cared for there because of conditions in their village home communities or here in Nome that are unsafe. So we see quite a bit of it, and it's definitely increasing. I agree with Sue. There is some concern that we just can't keep up with it.
I'd like to interject that, you know, housing is an economic issue. Housing is a health issue. Housing is an education issue. Mm-hmm. That we have people living in severely overcrowded homes with a lot of mold, children being exposed to alcohol, to domestic violence, to sexual abuse, to not getting enough sleep, poor performance in school, that Nome wants to grow, wants to become the port, but we don't have housing for the people who live here. Currently, we can't draw some of the talented positions that we need filled because the people know that what is here in terms of housing is poor quality and highly expensive. So Nome's got a very bad reputation. So it's a mentally unhealthy, physically unhealthy, socially unhealthy situation.
Sure. And relating, it is related to so many different things. Sarah, with your work with the Quirk's Vocational Rehabilitation Program, how does that relate to housing and what other factors are at play here?
So for those that don't know, vocational rehabilitation is a set of services designed to help people get jobs, get back into doing subsistence activities, help people with disabilities start small businesses. And really, housing affects almost every service that we have, not just with my program, but with many other programs in town and throughout the region, because if someone doesn't have a place to live, or if they're living in an overcrowded situation, their ability to concentrate, for example, on their studies is impaired. And that's just one example. People with disabilities have even a tougher time a lot of times because, for example, if a person with a disability is living in an overcrowded situation and they need to have regular visits to the doctor or teleconferences with their mental health provider, the conversations that they have, even over the phone, are not always private because there are so many people in and out of the house all the time. And so that's just one issue. And then when someone does get a job, many jobs here in town, for example, are low-paying jobs. And a person working full-time in Nome at one of these lower-paying jobs is not able to afford the going rate of an apartment, even a very small apartment. And that's a huge concern I've seen models where or recommendations where, you know, your housing cost should only be 30% of your total income, but really, in reality, for many people and many families, it's over 50% of their income, and that's unsustainable for them. And then you add in like all of the security deposits and utility deposits that people need to put down. Our high housing cost is a huge barrier to so many different things. And there are solutions, but they're not easily discovered, I think. And so I think we really need to focus on this as a community, as tribal programs, as a region. I think we all need to come together and try and find those solutions, because right now the situation is only getting worse.
Sure, it is. Yeah, it's a tremendous burden. And we want to know, we want to hear from you, what kind of housing conditions exist in your community? What housing projects are underway in your community? How would you like to see housing in your community improve? And we'd like to hear your story. So please do give us a call at 443-5221 here in Nome. 1-800-478-5666 if you're outside Nome. You can also email us at exchange@knom.org. So we're looking forward to hearing from you. Getting back into our guests here in the studio, for whoever would like to address this one, talking about some solutions. When we're talking about, you know, available employment and jobs in the region, how can businesses and potential employers help the situation? What can they do?
The first thing I can think of is they can pay living wages to their workers, especially their full-time workers. Even the lowest paying job, if it's full-time, should be paid a living wage, in my opinion. A wage where you will be able to afford the going rate of an apartment. And I know that may not be possible, but if there is a way that they can figure out how to do it, it would really benefit the people of our community.
You know, I think, I'm a little hesitant to say this, but I personally think that if Norton Sound Health Corporation would consider building housing for the people that they are employing rather than renting units in town, that would open up a number of places. It would also potentially drive down the costs on some of the places. So I think that that is something to be considered as well. But it's tough for businesses. I would like people just to be aware that certain people at businesses get housing, which I'm still learning. To understand how this is affecting your lower paid workers who don't have the benefit of housing, it's dramatic, it's tremendous, it's debilitating, and there at least needs to be the awareness that there are some of us that don't have a housing problem at all in Nome, and others, particularly renters, are really over the barrel. That rents for a one bedroom are more than we ever paid for a mortgage on our house. And this is the dilemma that people are facing. And these are the folks trying to do this on $12 an hour, $17 an hour. Someone recently said, you know, here's an example. They're trying to hire at the Department of Motor Vehicles. The announcement is they're closing permanently January 16th or indefinitely January 16th because they can't find somebody with the skill set they need who feels they can live on $27 an hour in Nome. That's the kind of problems. This is where it's affecting our economy, our quality of life for everyone. And I want to come back to something that housing is right down there. It often gets put in its own category. Okay, we have housing, we have education, we have law enforcement, and yet housing is universal to everything. It is a basic building block of human development. You need air, you need water, you need food, and you need shelter. And until you have those four things, you can't take the next step towards becoming a socially stable person. And until you become a socially stable person, you can't hold down a job. And until you can hold down a job, you can't suitably raise a family or increase your own sense of self-worth and ability. And so, you know, we just need to recognize that housing's right there with food, air, and water.
Right. I mean, you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I was trying not to say that term because for years it put me off, but now I get it.
Excellent points. And Rhonda, anything to add to that?
Yes, I would like to say that there are quite a few landlords in Nome, and they're businessmen as well. Businessmen and women who own properties. And I think that keeping them up to a basic level of basic standard of living, I think, is something that can be done. It is costly to upkeep homes and to repair homes. I think that's why some of our private family homes fall into disrepair. It's very difficult to find funding for those kinds of projects. And but I think one of the things our local business folks could do, and those who are landlords, is keep their properties up to a standard that really makes them livable.
Our guests, Rhonda Schneider, Sue Steinecker, and Sarah Lysak, all joining us in the studio to talk about housing today on KNOM's Exchange. We're still taking calls. If you'd like to join the conversation and share your inputs or comments about housing, you can call us at 1-800-478-5666 or locally in Nome, 443-5221. And maybe to share some light, although there's not much light to shed on the situation. But Sue, could you talk about this low-income housing project tax credit and what that means if Nome gets it?
We've learned of a form of federal funding that can potentially build. It's hard to explain. Corporations were looking for tax credits, and you know, once I understand what those are, maybe I'll look for them too. But what they've been doing is a big corporation or a bank might put up the $10 million that it would take to build a low-income housing project. And then for the next 15 years, the government gives them a break. In exchange, what they get paid back with is a break on their taxes for 15 years. And then it recycles again for another 15 years. This is how Munuksri was built. And we learned about this process. We found a sort of a nonprofit developer wanting to work in rural Alaska. He doesn't make that much money from this, but he cares. And we worked with Nome Eskimo and Bering Straits Regional Housing Authority. And we put in a preliminary proposal, and we were selected to move to the next round. We are waiting, hopefully, to find out if we will indeed be funded and might know by the end of this week. However, now that the corporate tax rate has dropped from 35% to 20%, this nobody knows what this is going to do to this project that has been a very successful collaboration between private industry and public service. But we'll, you know, stay tuned. We'll know more. Nome Eskimo community stepped up to be the sponsor for this project. If it goes through, then we hope to build 14 units, basically designed for working families needing some affordable housing.
Yeah. And so were you referring to the Munuksri project when you were talking about that? Or?
Well, that is the only other project in Nome that's ever been funded through this process.
Could you elaborate on that that example?
I can do that.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I think Rhonda can speak to that.
It's a project that Nome Community Center is connected with, and I will say that when the Munuksri project was first in the idea stages, it required a nonprofit organization to be involved in order to qualify for the funding. And so Nome Community Center was that partner. There are a few other partners in Nome that have small little pieces of the puzzle. We're involved right now in an additional, so it was built with low-income tax credit funding, and we're involved right now in and have been approved for the tax credits to renovate. However, with the change in the value of those credits, we've had to seek additional funding. We've been approved for some, we've been denied some. So it's a project that's supposed to start in the spring. I will say that it is tied, the low-income tax credit funding is tied to the IRS, Internal Revenue Service. There are a lot of restrictions on how the property can be used, how the property has to be kept up, what kinds of audits and reports are required. And so typically tax credit projects are projects that are good quality and well-maintained because they have to be. And so tax credit projects that come into a community are good for a community. Sometimes when folks talk about low-income housing, they're not favorable to having them necessarily in their neighborhoods or in their communities. However, and I think there are some low-income projects that are not managed in the same way. But the fact that this is tied to Internal Revenue Service dollars, the compliance that's required keeps them at a level. Monoxery has been well kept. In 15 years now, we qualify to reapply for funds to renovate. So we've got upkeep before it falls into such disrepair that it's not repairable.
Thanks, Rhonda. We've got about 5 minutes left. If you'd like to call in and share some of your stories, are there projects going on in your community? What are you looking at in your communities, and how would you like to see housing improve in your community? Please give us a call at 1-800-478-5666. That's 1-800-478-KNOM. Or if you're in Nome, 443-5221. And you can, of course, email us at exchange@knom.org as well. Just about 5 minutes left to call in. Sue, did you want to add something?
Yeah. I'm concerned that probably a lot of the people listening, they already know what a housing crisis is here, and they're probably not hearing too many solutions. The people that I would really like to have listening to this program are the leadership, the Bering Straits leadership team and the leaders within this region. Both the native corporations, the city of Nome, the hospital, the Quirik, you name it, this whole group. And that what I'm encountering is that everybody recognizes it as a problem, housing, but everybody thinks it's somebody else's problem to solve. We are too small a community to approach a problem this massive with that perspective. That this is something that needs to bring every different entity in town to the table. I would like to see the funding. I'd like to see Quirik. I think Quirik would be an excellent place for there to be a full-time housing advocate. We've made the first steps of creating a Seward Peninsula Housing Coalition. This coalition needs leadership. It needs... There are lots of smaller types of funding out there, funding for people coming out of prison, people in seeking sobriety, children aging out of foster care, but there's no entity large enough to take this on. It has to be all of us collectively. And the problems that we're struggling with in Nome, I can guarantee you, are happening in Bethel, Kotzebue, Barrow, all across the state. Nome's got a little bit of an edge because of its of the Nest shelter and the attention that's brought to Nome, and that we have been participating. I'm on the Alaska Coalition of Housing and Homelessness. Chris Kolarok has just been been elected to that board as well. What every local person can do is make a lot of noise about your problem. That I really feel that housing, that we need to be the squeakiest wheel on the block to get the attention that we need. It is worth it. If, you know, you may be sitting in Savunga, but write a letter telling them what it's like for your family living in that overcrowded home and how it's affecting especially your kids. And mail that to Senator Murkowski and Senator Sullivan and Don Young. Let them hear from you. Same with Donnie Olson and Neil Foster. They need to hear. The city council needs, everybody, but at the same time, so it's like partly, I don't feel that the more developed part of the state totally gets just how bad it is out here. We have to clue them in, but we also have to, as a region, combine together and work together and look at lots of multiple smaller options that start relieving pressure here, relieving pressure there.
Thank you, Sue, for those points. And that brings me to my last question there. We'll start with you, Sarah. How would you change the system, either from the inside or the outside, as Sue was kind of alluding to there?
Well, I know for sure that there has been a lot of discussion at Quirk, among various programs about this housing issue. And so I think it would be good to have another show on housing and invite the people who would want to come from Quirk to talk a little bit more about that, about the discussions that have already been happening. And I know on the city side, as a Nome Planning Commissioner myself, that there has also been a lot of discussion about the housing issue. If I was you guys, I would invite the mayor and maybe a couple of councilmen to come in and talk about this issue. So this is not the end of this conversation. It's just the beginning. And I think more shows about this issue will really open up a discussion and maybe generate some solutions.
Totally agree. Get those voices heard, more communication between us and other entities. Absolutely. We would love to have a follow-up. And speaking of meetings and follow-ups, there is a self-help housing meeting that Nome Eskimo Community is hosting on the 16th. We've been announcing that info on the radio as well for KNOM listeners. So please continue listening to KNOM, The Exchange, to hear more about that. But again, that's January 16th at Nome Eskimo Community for a self-help housing meeting. Rhonda, same question to you. Anything that you would specifically change about the system to help this housing issue?
Well, I agree with Sue that it's going to take everybody. And I think if everybody does their small part. So one of the things that we are doing with our Boys and Girls Club teens is involving them in some apprenticeship opportunity so that they can work alongside our local contractors and folks that work with us in keeping up our properties. If everybody contributes a little, it adds up to be a lot. So that's what we're looking to do to get our part started in making a dent in housing issues here in Nome. We're hoping that we can teach kids to do some basic things that when they grow up, they can change their own light switches and repair their own leaking windows and things like that.
Certainly excellent skills to have. Sue, did you have one last?
Yeah, that I've tried to think, you know, if there was one thing that could make things better for everyone, I'm hoping that Bering Straits Native Corporation's listening, is they could serve the entire region and the people of Nome if they could somehow subsidize barging. The shipping costs are the number one problem for all of the villages, for Nome, for people trying to improve their properties, whether they're landlords or homeowners, to build your own home, to create more housing. And it would be a tremendous service if we could either get it subsidized or start a low-cost barging system that comes to this region. I don't know what the practicalities are, but that could be the one silver bullet that could make a big difference for everyone.
All right. Well, we're running out of time here, but as was mentioned, this conversation on housing is not over. There will be follow-ups, and KNOM's Exchange has another session coming up in a couple of weeks here in January. Before we say goodbye to our guests, though, if you would like to share your contact information and just reiterate some final points here in the last couple of minutes. We'll start with Rhonda.
Sure. I would like to share that Nome Community Center is available at 443-5259.
Boy, this is Sue Steinacker, and I sort of do this really from a passion place. So I would welcome anyone else who wants to talk. Give me a call. My home is also my work number, and it's 907-443-7673 or my cell 434-1622.
And people can contact me. This is Sarah Lysak over at the Quirk Vocational Rehabilitation Program at 443-4362.
Excellent. All right. Thank you to all three of our guests, Rhonda, Sue, and Sarah, for joining us on our KNOM's Exchange talking about housing today. We appreciate your time, and thanks for everyone who's listening. We didn't get any calls today, but that's all right. I hope you benefited from just listening, and the conversation will continue on housing. We're going to get back to our regularly scheduled programming here. It's 11:30. You're tuned into KNOM.